You'll have years and years of the Antichrist reign, and he'll gradually and slowly rise to power. And you've got years and years while he just gradually, slowly rises to power, and then eventually the tribulation period begins. I don't believe the Bible teaches that at all. And in the Sunday school lesson, which I just finished, I made a case to prove that. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. And regardless of what this mark is, it's only going to be put on in the last 42 months of the tribulation period. I showed you that in Sunday school class, and I can prove it. It's there. It's plain in the Bible. When the Antichrist comes in, people think he's going to have a long, long time here rising to power. No, the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world ever since John wrote. And the spirit of Antichrist is preparing the way for the Antichrist right now and preparing his kingdom. He's pulling together all the different forces, all the different religious groups that are in error, and he's pulling them together in one massive cloddish pot. Eventually, he's going to rise up a man who will come to power very suddenly and very quickly into a kingdom that's already sitting there waiting for him. I showed you in Sunday school why I believe he'll rise suddenly, why the world will follow him, and his reign will be very short. But I'd like to talk to you about the difference between true Christianity and false Christianity. Now, I made a case in Sunday school to prove that the actual mark of the beast itself will not be put on until the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And while all the things are getting together for his empire, the reign of Antichrist is going to be a very short one. What is the main difference that you can spot between the true Christ, who's already come and will come again, and the false Christ? Well, this pretty well links up with the Sunday school lesson I was teaching, but you didn't have to be here for it to understand it. We're going to talk about a mark, but it's a mark that God puts on us. The Lord puts his name in the forehead of some of his people. He seals people. And just as the Antichrist has a false seal and the Antichrist has a false mark, there are lots of ways you can tell the difference between the true Christ and the false Christ. Marked by belief and service, worshiped from the mind within, manifested by outward hand service. There are a lot of people today claiming to be children of God that aren't. And the reason I know they're not children of God is because what they believe is totally and utterly wrong. They don't believe in a salvation by grace. They've got a form of works or something else worked in with it. And they believe in miracles, 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 signs and wonders, and all the rest. When the false Antichrist shows up, when the Antichrist actually shows up, they're going to follow him just like a duck follows a June bug. In James 1:17-18, we're told about salvation. In James 1:17-18, we're told, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's talking about a sundial, and it's talking about a sundial that is consistent, and the shadow is always the same. It's talking about the consistency of God and the way he operates with his gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That is also very true of the gift of salvation. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's why when it says you must be born again, the word again from the received text, the King James translation, means from above. Born again from above. It means, as John the Baptist said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. God gave us the gift of salvation. It is not based on sight. It is not based on what you see, taste, touch, and feel with the five senses. It is not based on evidence where you actually saw Jesus rise from the dead. It's based on faith and a belief in what God's Word says. And a person can know they're saved if they believe the Word of God and their faith is based on that. Everything else is error. Of his own will, of the will of God, James 1:18, begat he us with the word of truth. A person is born again when they hear the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And in Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the only reason I'm going to heaven is because as an ungodly, wretched, unregenerated sinner, totally depraved, when I was 12 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ to save me from what I am by birth and nature, a helpless, lost sinner. And I put my faith totally and completely in one lone, single, solitary man, Jesus Christ. And I called upon his name to save me. My faith, my saving faith, is based not upon sight, but upon belief in what God says. And when God says it, that's it. I put my faith in it, and I'm saved. And I don't have to wonder about whether I'm saved or not. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. God saved us to perform. God saved us to perform works. Works do not save, but works are an outward manifestation of the fact that a person is saved internally. Works never saved anybody, and they never will. But they were an outward manifestation of Christ is alive in me. And every work that I have ever performed since I was saved that is acceptable to God, it was the mind of Christ in me and the idea of Christ in me in accordance with His word that caused it to be performed, and I can take no credit for it. Every single good thing that I will ever do in my life is something that was done by the Spirit of Christ within me. And every bad thing that I have ever succumbed to in the flesh and done not according to the word of God, it's my fault. God is a perfect God, and He gives a perfect gift, and it's not based on sight. It's not based on miracles. It's not based on speaking in tongues. It's not based on miraculous things. It's based on a belief that when God said His Son was resurrected from the dead, I believe it. He said in Luke 11:13-16, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, even a person that's evil, totally unregenerated, somebody that's never been saved, they know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Because I asked God. You say, well, how do you know He gave it to you? Because that's what He says. I have the Holy Spirit. He indwells me. He's been there ever since I was 12 years old. And I know I have Him because I asked God for Him. And that word right there says He'll give it to me. And I have the Holy Spirit. And the very reason I'm standing up here testifying all this to you is because I'm led of the Spirit. And what I'm showing you is God's word. It's not opinion. It's not an idea. It's not a premise. It's not a thought. It's God's word. That's what God's word says. I believe it. In verse 14 in Luke 11:13-14, Jesus performed a marvelous thing. He cast out a devil. Verse 14, He was casting out a devil and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake and the people wondered. How do I know He did that? Because it says so. I wasn't there. But why do I believe it? It says so. But take a look at these people. They were there. They saw it happen. Here is a man who has the power to cast out devils. Certainly a miraculous work. So they could see this. Well, I've never seen it. I accept it because God said it. What did they do with it? What good is sight? But some of them said He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Instead of believing what He did and accepting Him as who He was from God, they took what they saw with their eyes and they refused to believe it. My faith is not based on that. My faith is based on what God said. God said He did it, and He did it, and I believe it, and I accept that as proof of who He was. They wouldn't even accept it when He did it in front of them. They tried to attribute it to the devil. And others tempting Him sought of Him a sign from heaven. Well, the reason I capitalize that, sought of Him a sign from heaven, is because that's what's going to cause the Antichrist to come to power so suddenly. A lot of people have the idea that the Antichrist is going to gradually, slowly phase in, and it'll take several years for him to get power, and it'll take another several years for him to take this and do that. And they've got this thing figured out in a long period of time. That's a bunch of baloney. When the Antichrist comes in, he's going to come in with a storm. And he's going to have this false prophet performing such miraculous works that people are going to think that the Antichrist is the true Christ and that he's been resurrected from the dead. I covered that in the Sunday school lesson. That's what false religionists want. There are a lot of people that claim Jesus is their Savior. There are a lot of people that say, I believe in Christ as the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. But they won't follow Him, and they won't continue to believe it unless they see some kind of a miraculous work. If they see somebody healed of cancer, they see somebody speaking in tongues, they see some miraculous thing where they can put their faith in the miraculous thing rather than in the one who did it. That's not a saving faith. That's a bunch of baloney. That's putting your faith on your human senses. My faith is based on the Word of God that the Spirit wrote and nothing else. Therefore, I know I'm saved. These other people, they're not sure. You say, how do you know they're not sure? They think they can lose their salvation. Well, how can you lose your salvation if it's based on the works of Christ and what He did at Calvary and His suffering and His blood? You can't lose it because it's not based on your works, based on His. Well, why am I up here preaching? Why do I do good works? Not to be saved, but because I am saved. When the Antichrist shows up, he's going to appeal to all these people. Because, brother, he's going to put on a show you wouldn't believe. Now let's take a look at Mark 8, 7 through 11. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded them also before him, and commanded to set them also before him. Jesus is about to perform a fantastic miracle right in front of these people. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets out of just a few small fishes. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. They sent them away. How do I know that happened? That's the word of God. I believe it. God's Spirit who lives inside me testifies it's true. I know it's true. How? I wasn't there. I didn't see it. But what about those people that were there? Did they follow him and believe he was the Son of God because they saw it with their eyes and actually tasted of the bread and tasted of the fish? How could they not believe? That's not real faith. When you have to be shown something where you can taste it, touch it, sense it, and feel it, and they didn't follow him. And every time a bunch of people like this got to following Jesus, he'd turn around and say something spiritual to them, and they'd all run for the hills like a bunch of quail. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. Now notice what happened in verse 11. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. What had Jesus just done? He had performed a most miraculous act, but they were always asking for more. Always sought of him a sign from heaven, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting. That's the way it is in false religions. There are a lot of false religions out there. They go under a lot of different names. And what you've got to do is keep on hyping them up. They come to church, somebody gets healed, but God's not with them unless they can have another healing or 2 healings the next Sunday. And you've got to bring in a brass band and keep playing the brass band and get people all hyped up and get them really emotionally stirred. And pretty soon you get to the point where you've got to stir them more and more and more and more and more. So the preachers change churches, and a new guy comes in with a new way to stir people up. I'll tell you what stirs me up. The living word of Almighty God. And when God says something, I believe it. So I don't have to wander around all the time asking myself, are you really saved? Is all this really true? God's word is true. And when I believe it, I don't have to worry about anything. But these other religions, many of them are just based on nothing but feeling. You can't go with feelings. Well, do I have feelings? You bet I do. I have a lot better feelings than a person that has to see miracles all the time. Because I know I'm saved. Because my faith is based on God's word, I feel really good about the fact I'm not going to hell. But people in these false religions, they keep having to be hyped up. You've got to keep showing them another miracle, another healing, another wonderful act, something wonderful and stupendous. And you have to keep higher and higher acceleration of their feeling. Otherwise, you lose them. Listen, God's work is sufficient to excite me to the depth of my soul. Any man who could raise himself from the dead by the power of God, and any man who could raise Lazarus from the dead, and any man who could do this, what else do I need from him? But you didn't see any of this, and I didn't either. That's what faith is. It's faith in what God says, not what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears. It's what you see with your heart and what you feel with your heart and what you know with your heart because you have confidence in God. Matthew 12, 28, 30. Now, I'm leading up something. The something is this. This is what the religious world is looking for right now. I went over in eastern Arkansas, I guess about 20 years ago. I was doing a meeting over there. I've done about 700 revivals since then. I remember that the people over there were coming by the thousands every day to see a house where somebody had noticed in the glass in the door there was a symbol of 3 crosses, and somehow that had gotten in there. Well, I'm a geologist, and I'm a certified meteorologist, and I know about these things, and sometimes in all these different glass panes, you're going to get things that look like that. But that was from God. And people, they said, would come. Well, I saw it. They came from the Northeast. They came from all over the country. And before it was over, millions came down to just look at that thing. But you kids couldn't get them to go across the street to come into a church and worship God in spirit and in truth. You couldn't get them to listen to the word of God and want to profit from it. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You couldn't get them inside a church building. But you could get them anywhere you wanted to, if you saw something with your eyes. Oh, it's from God. That's not a saving faith. But the Antichrist is going to take full advantage of that. And people are going to follow him because his false prophet, who will probably be the last pope, is going to perform miraculous works. And people are going to look at that and say, now here's finally the true Messiah in whom we can believe. Matthew 12:38-40. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. My goodness, how many marvelous things did he do in his lifetime, but they never paid any attention. They just got mad about it. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He said, this is the only sign you're getting from me. My life, my death, my burial in the earth, and my resurrection from the earth. He said, just like Jonah was in that whale's belly for 3 days and three nights, I'm going to be in the grave for 3 days and three nights, and then I'm coming out. Well, that's my sign, and that's what I believe in. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? I sure do. And I'm very much alive right now, and I believe in him, and I'll never die. I will never be separated. I have been passed from life unto death. I am not under the condemnation of God anymore because of Christ's blood. When God looks at me, he sees the blood of Christ. And the only reason I'm going to heaven is because of what Jesus did. But this last generation is looking for a sign. They're looking for a resurrected man. They're looking for miraculous things that they can put their faith in so they can be sure of what they believe. And they're going to get it, and they're going to follow him. Most people tend to think that the Antichrist followers are going to be those rotten old mean atheists and those ungodly agnostics and other people. They think it's going to be the town drunk that never believed in God. Oh, they're going to follow him. But most of the Antichrist followers are going to be religionists, and they're going to be people that profess Christ, but they're going to be people that weren't looking for the truth. They were looking for error, and they wanted to base their feelings on signs, wonders, and miracles which God indicated you should never do. Take a look at Thomas. John 20:25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, Apostle Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. That's what the world's waiting for right now. You may not believe it, but I'll guarantee you that's what they're waiting for. They're waiting until they can actually see a man resurrected from the dead. Jesus did not let anyone see him raised from the dead except the angelic host and God, the angels of heaven. They're the only ones that saw it. No man saw it happen. They saw the afterward consequences, but they didn't see it happen. His resurrection was a very private thing between him, his Father, the whole angelic host. This last Antichrist is going to put on a public show of his resurrection, and people are going to believe he really has come back from the dead. Thomas said, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. He had to have something he could see with his eyes, sense with his five senses. Look what happened in verse 29 when Jesus rebuked him. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know why there are so many false churches today? Because there's a very false God. And the spirit of Antichrist was in the world in the time of John's writing. And the spirit of Antichrist has worked his way into the hearts and minds of human beings all over this earth. And they don't want to accept God just for what he says. They don't want to revere and respect him and worship him just because of what he said in his word. They want some proof from him. They want to see a resurrected man. They want to see a miracle. They want to see somebody healed of cancer. And unless they see these healings, they will not believe. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Well, how do I know that he fed the 5,000? How do I know he resurrected Lazarus from the dead? How do I know that he raised that widow's son to life? How do I know that he rose from the dead himself? How do I know he was the Son of God? How do I know he's alive today? I've never seen him. I have a saving faith. And my saving faith is based on this. Heavenly Father, you don't have to prove anything to me. I believe what he said. And a saving faith is when you believe what God said, and he doesn't have to waste his time going around and proving to you who he is. He's already done it. He did it with his son, Jesus Christ. His son was God incarnate in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He performed all these miracles. Now you talk about feeling. You want feeling? Right now inside me, if you could sense what I'm feeling, you'd understand. Right now I'm feeling an excitement and a thanksgiving to Almighty God, because the Spirit testifies that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And Jesus is my Lord and my Savior and my God. And his blood covers me. And when God looks at me, he passes over. And that wrath of angels will never fall upon me or the wrath of God. I'm saved. And the Spirit that lives in me testifies it. And he's been living there for 53 years. You say, well, brother, I don't understand that. I hope you do. Because if you don't understand it, you've got problems. What I feel and believe is based on what God said. It's based on fact. It's not based on theory or emotion. My emotions are generated by facts. And the facts are given by God and his word. And when I believe them, then I feel good about what I believe. Now notice what he said in verse 31. Here's why God gave you all these miracles that Christ performed. John 20, 31. But these are written, why? That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I have life through his name. I believe every single miracle that is recorded and every single thing that he performed is just exactly like he performed it. And I came to him seeking life. He said, and you will not come to me that you might have life. He told the scribes and Pharisees that. Well, I'm not guilty. I'm a sinner who came to him. And he gave me his life, and I have his life. And it's the only life I have that lasts forever, that assures me of being with him forever in heaven. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this last day Antichrist, when he shows up, he's going to be exactly the opposite in everything he does. Revelation 13, 11 through 18. In Revelation 13, 11 through 18, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. The first beast has already come up in Revelation 13, 1 through 5. He's killed by a weapon of war. And apparently, and I said apparently, resurrected from the dead. Everybody in the world sees it. It's testified to. A lot of men see it happen, probably on television. And here is the second beast. He comes up out of the very pits of hell. He is the false prophet. And he is the false prophet who will probably be the last Roman Catholic pope. He looks like a lamb. He has two horns like a lamb. But inside him is living the power of Satan. And he spake as a dragon. He's the antithesis of our Holy Spirit. Here is the unholy spirit of Satan located in a man. And what's coming out of his mouth and what he's telling the people is not of God, it's of the devil. But the devil can appear to be an angel of light. Don't you ever think for one moment that in these last days, these are going to look like terrible, ugly, awful-looking people. And don't ever believe that they're going to have words that have a lot of cuss words, a lot of obnoxious things in them. It's going to be sweet, and they're going to speak very smooth things. And the devil himself can appear to be an angel of light sent straight from God. And that's exactly the way he's going to speak through this false religious leader. And people are going to believe him in swarms. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. The first beast before him is the Antichrist. And causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. So why do all the people follow the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed? When you have a deadly wound, it's called a deadly wound because it kills you. If you have a superficial wound, it doesn't kill you. If you have a serious wound, it doesn't kill you. But when you have a deadly wound, it's a deadly wound and it kills. But this one was healed. This man will apparently be resurrected from the dead. And that's what the world's been waiting for a long time. All they've had so far is a man who claimed to be resurrected from the dead and nobody actually saw it. God wanted his son to be accepted by faith. This man will let the world see it. He'll do exactly the opposite from the true Christ. And when that happens, you better believe they're going to follow him, because that's what people have been looking for ever since Christ was here. A sign, a sign, a sign. Those scribes and Pharisees were the most religious people on the surface of the earth. There are 21 church buildings in and around this town. And in many of those church buildings, the people that are in there are people who are looking for a sign. They want something they can put their faith in, they can see, taste, touch, and feel. That is not true faith. But when this man shows up and they see a man resurrected from the dead, I guarantee you they're going to follow him like a bunch of quail. And he doeth great wonders. This false prophet, not only will he attest and testify that this man who's been resurrected from the dead, he is his Holy Spirit, and he will testify to these people, yes, this is the true Christ. You say, I don't believe people do that. I do. After 20 years going to about 700 different missionary Baptist churches, I'll guarantee you I do. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. In the sight of men. Notice, in the sight of men. He makes sure that he gives a repeat performance of Elijah. And they actually see fire come down out of heaven in the sight of men. And they put their faith in what they see rather than in the word of God and the promises that it held out in his son and have been there all the time. But this man they'll receive. Jesus said, if another come in his own name, him you shall receive. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. How does he deceive the people on the earth? By the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for some kind of a statue that speaks, some kind of a miraculous thing they can put their faith in. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live. He doesn't make the beast. He has men make the image. And then after men make the image, he actually has the image speak, which had a wound by a sword and did live. Apparently a man who the world believes has been resurrected from the dead, but this time it wasn't kept secret. Everybody got to see it. They're going to follow this guy like you would not believe, and they're going to do it in the name of God. And most of the people on this earth are going to think they do God a favor when they kill true believers. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I've heard people say they thought that was face on television. I don't question it's going to be a face on television. And I don't question it's going to be shown all over the world on television. But what they'll show is an image, an actual craven image that was made by the hand of man. And this false prophet, I believe a Pope of Rome, will actually have the power to make it speak. And when it speaks, people will listen because they can see it, and they'll say, now we've finally got something real to follow, and they'll follow him. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. Only way he'd ever be able to get them to do that is by proving without question, by what they could see, taste, touch, sense, and feel, that here was finally the true Christ. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for there is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Later on, I'll be talking about that in Sunday school, and I'll probably talk about some tonight in BTC. But this is what's important. Have you ever been born again? Do you really know what it means to be saved? Do you actually understand it's a gift? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Salvation is a gift. It's a perfect gift. The only way it could be perfect is for Christ to have done it. He is the only sinless perfect man who ever came out of a woman's womb. And he is the only sinless perfect man who ever came out of a woman's womb that lived a perfect sinless life, and with forethought and intent willingly and purposely laid his body upon a cross and took your sins in his own body on the tree. There is no change in God's plan of salvation. It has always been in Christ. It always will be in Christ. And Jesus is the only one who was qualified to pay the price for your sins, and he's the only one who can save you. God's Holy Spirit testifies this to your heart when you see yourself as lost and headed for hell. Of his own will begat he us. God did it of his own will. The new birth, the begetting, has to come with the power of God. You don't have the power to save yourself. Of his own word begat he us. What does he use as the instrument to lead you by to conviction by the power of the Spirit? With the word of truth. The word of truth is God's word, and the Holy Spirit gave it to convict you, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. If you fiddle around here on this earth with your life, you can't make up your mind one way or the other by faith whether or not he's who he claimed to be. You may think it impossible after you've seen this when he shows up to accept him, but I could almost guarantee you will. Why do people wait? Why wait to be saved? Hell awaits us the moment we draw that last breath, and we have absolutely no assurance of tomorrow. Every human being has to have a Savior, and there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. Have you ever called upon him? Have you ever asked him to save you? Have you ever accepted what he gave in his son for your sins? Have you ever realized the trouble that Christ went to so he could save you? This morning, if you need a Savior, there's only one, and his name is Jesus. And you need to come to him and receive the gift that he paid for with his own blood. As the song leader comes, as the pianist comes, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is a personal matter between you and his Spirit. In the last 20 years, I've spent a great deal of time proving to you that we're in the beginning of sorrows. I've shown you the earthquakes, the famines, the pestilences, and I've shown you how they're increasing like a woman's birth pangs. Very soon, this Antichrist is going to show up. When he shows up, it's not going to be a long, drawn-out affair where it takes him years to rise to power. The world's already prepared for it. But the important thing about your life and mine is you need a Savior, and you need a Savior right now.